What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Eagles are at the podium, and we have it covered here for you thanks to the fine folk at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist. Follow me on Twitter at MichaelKistNFL. That's K-I-S-T. And today we have Eagles head coach Doug Peterson talking with the media on Monday after the 22-17 loss to the Browns, which moves the Eagles to 3-6-1. Doug Peterson was asked straight away about the possibility of benching Carson Wentz, the calls for which are growing much louder, and he gave his usual stock answers. We're still on the hunt in the NFC East, not getting into hypotheticals, blah, 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 followed by giving some more curt answers, and really just the guy was overall grumpy and snappy. Although other answers gave some better context to what went down on Sunday, including thoughts on run checks, killing plays that had design rollouts built in. I'm always excited to hear the term nub set used in a presser regarding the Denzel Ward hit that forced a pick six, and so on. But again, overall, the guy was not having it today. So if you want to hear Cantankerous Doug, we got you covered. Before we get to that, one quick note for the Eagles. It is being reported that cornerback Kravon LeBlanc is likely to be placed on injured reserve after suffering a second-degree high ankle sprain. That leaves the Eagles with four healthy corners, not including Jalen Mills, so we'll see if they make a corresponding move in response to that. All right, let's kick it over to Peterson talking with the media today.
You had mentioned after the game yesterday about Carson and not thinking about benching him, thinking would send the wrong message. When you look back at the film, and you start to think about moving forward in the NFC East and that message, it would say if there was a 7-3 team in this division, would that change your thinking?
That's a hypothetical question, and I'm not getting into that.
Well, can I follow up real quickly as far as Carson?
And, right now we're still in the hunt. I mean, we're still leading the division. So, we have a lot to play for right now.
Go ahead, Daniel, and then Dave.
Hey, Doug. Yesterday, Miles Sanders said that the Browns made some adjustments after halftime. I think he said their linebackers started coming a little bit more downhill. When you looked at the film, what did you see from the Cleveland defense in the second half?
Their linebackers coming downhill.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Dave, and then Tim.
Hey, Doug, even before Jason Peters left the game yesterday, it seemed like he wasn't playing at a very high level. What did you make of his performance, and is he your left tackle moving forward?
Yeah, he's our left tackle moving forward. There were a lot of things that, several things that sort of stood out after watching the film, from a number of positions, and not just one specific spot or aspect of the game offensively, and then something that, as you've heard me say this before, there's enough to go around. O-line, running backs, tight ends, the quarterbacks, the receivers, a lot of work still needs to be done, but we can get it done.
Tim and then Paul.
Doug, you get asked a lot about not rolling Carson Wentz out of the pocket more. Could you help give us insight into why that's not happening? Is it not part of kind of your scheme? Is it something that Carson doesn't like? Does something have to happen first until you get to that part? Like, can you just help us understand that better?
No, the number one thing is just me calling it more, honestly. We had success in the run game in the first half, and my plan going into the second half was to kind of get him out of the pocket. Especially on first and 10, situations, to do that. And a couple of times we had in this game plan, we had the movement throws also kill to a run, you know, a run check built into the game plan based on what the defense gave us. So some of that was all that some of that came up where we, you know, got to the run as opposed to the quarterback movement. But honestly, it's probably more me just calling them.
Go ahead, Paul, and then Jeff McClain.
Yeah, Doug, two quick questions about Carson's first interception. A, was Rogers supposed to pick up Ward on the other on that side? And B, it appeared Rager was open on that play. Did Carson not see him? What exactly happened there?
Yeah, you know, part of that protection, obviously the tight ends have to be aware of, especially on the nub side like that, to be aware of, you know, DBs coming off the edge. And it's unfortunate, you know, that happened, and we just missed. He saw him late and tried to get a hand on him, but by then it was too late. He hit Carson. I do think that Carson did have an opportunity. I haven't spoken to Carson yet today. We'll see him here in a little bit, but haven't had a chance to really talk to him about that play. But it appeared that he had Jalen, you know, like right now, off of the play fake, and possibly could have completed that pass before the hit.
Go ahead, Jeff, and then Zach.
Two of my questions were taken, but Doug, why is Alshon Jeffrey even being active? Why is he on the team?
Why is he on the team? Well,
John Hightower only got one snap. I mean, what's the point of playing Alshon Jeffrey at this point when he's not even going to be here next year, unlikely to be? I think a lot of fans are wondering what you're doing with Alshon Jeffrey.
Well, right now he's, you know, he is a part of the offense. He's a part of what we've done, the success we've had here. And, you know, he is coming off an injury. And we do have to get him in the game a little bit more. And, you know, that's, again, that's on me to get him in the football game and also Hightower at the same time. So, you know, you also knew that JJ was not available in this football game and you know, Quez was down. So Alshon was up and active for this game.
Go ahead, Zach, and then Les.
Hey, good afternoon, Doug. Jalen Hurts played one offensive snap. Regardless of the way Carson is playing, why isn't Hurts on the field more? And is this the type of workload and usage we should expect going forward?
No, I think I could get him in the game a little bit more.
Go ahead, Les, and then Nick.
Hi, Doug. Okay. On the discussion with the from yesterday about people asking you about benching Carson, you said you didn't want to send the wrong message to the team that you'd given up, but I guess the counter to that would be by not doing something, do you send a message that any sort of mistake or poor play is excusable or that people aren't accountable for what they do?
No, I kind of addressed it this morning on the radio. And we still have a lot to play for and we still have a lot to fix. It's not, you know, in this city, the quarterback and the head coach, right? I mean, it's all about the QB and the head coach. And everybody else can almost, you know, go by the wayside, I guess. And so it's almost like a two-man band. But there's enough work to be done, as I've mentioned, by all positions. Receivers can play better. You know, the O-line can play better. We had, you know, how many different offensive – we played all nine offensive linemen yesterday in this game. You know, Opetta, who was a left guard, is now playing right guard, and we had to bump Pryor out to right tackle, and Driscoll was in there, and, you know, Malata's playing the left side. It was just, you know, it was another one of those days. You know, running backs, you know, we need to hang on to the football. Quarterback needs to play better. You know, defensively, we've got to get off the field on third down. We've got to be able to tackle better. You know, same way on special teams, we've got to be able to tackle in space. So there's enough to go around that none of it's excusable. We all hold each other accountable, coaches and players, and that's why I keep saying that we have a lot to play for. There's a lot of pride here, and that's what we're gonna do.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prof G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prof G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prof G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, Doug. Just talking about Alshon again, you know, since he's come back, Travis Fulgham's production has really been basically nil. Did you worry about that dynamic and how, you know, reintroducing a wide receiver can impact the rest of the group? You were getting a lot of great production from Travis before that.
No, I'm not worried about that, but worried about, you know, Alshon's presence right now. I'm concerned about Travis's, you know, production and getting him better and helping him get better. And he needs to get better. You know, as I've mentioned, we all have enough to do, enough work to do. Obviously he's part of that, you know, he's part of that group.
Ruben and Kristen.
Hey, Doug. Nate Herbig, he started, didn't miss a snap, first eight games. Hurt his hand or his finger. He wasn't on the injury list this past week, but then he didn't play. What's going on with him? Is he going to be back in the picture, or is there something more to it?
There's nothing more to it. Opetta has deserved the opportunity right now, and with Isaac coming back, you know, it was just we had all the offensive linemen available, and we had to put a couple of guys down, you know, inactive for the game. So Herbie's doing fine. He's doing well, and each week, you know, he's competing for one of those backup spots right now, or potentially a starter spot if there's an injury, you know, each week.
Kristen and then Bo.
Hey, Doug. This Eagles team is no stranger to adversity. You guys have been through it before, kind of in similar situations for the last 2 years. And you mentioned yesterday that this is going to be a challenge now, maybe even for the veteran leadership, to make sure that guys stay in it. What's worked in years past, and why are you maybe not seeing that right now?
Well, what has worked is just what you mentioned, the leadership of the team, the veteran players just really embracing and taking ownership in not only their job, but also the team and leading the football team. And, you know, there's been a lot of things that have surrounded this football team this year with the pandemic and COVID and, you know, injuries and different things. And, you know, that we still have a lot to play for. We still have an opportunity in our division to win the division eventually. And hopefully, you know, it's going to take everybody. Listen, that's not, it's a hard task, right? It's an uphill battle, but, we just have to do our part. You know, I've got to coach better. The players we have to practice better, and ultimately we have to play better, in order to, really get this, you know, get this thing back on track.
Bo and then Martin.
Doug, how was the game day operation different yesterday without Press Taylor and Aaron Moorhead? What specifically did you guys do to account for that?
Well, you know, I was a little more involved on the sideline when I could and be a part. Nate Sudfeld and Jalen did a nice job. Andrew Briner and Rich did a great job of, you know, getting on the headsets or the phones and talking through with the quarterbacks. Spending more time, you know, with the receivers and the running backs and sort of bridging that gap. Coach Peel did a great job of communication. So we all just kind of took ownership in that and involved everybody in that process.
Martin and then Ed.
Hey, Doug. One of the things you said yesterday was this is going to be like a great sign to see who's in and who's out. I was wondering, have you noticed anybody not being all in at this point? And how concerning would it be if you were to discover that was the case?
I have not discovered that so far. I think that's more of a, you know, maybe a word of caution to everybody. Like, listen, we still have messaging is not going to change, right? We still have our goals right in front of us. And I just want to make sure and everybody understands that we still have a great opportunity. As poorly as things have been, we still have a great opportunity in front of us. And I want to make sure that everybody understands that. We still have to go out and practice. We still have to meet. We still got to do the things that, you know, to prepare ourselves for each game. And I just want to make sure that everybody understands that, hey, we're all in on this, right? And it's kind of like we're pushing our chips into the middle of the table, so to speak, and everybody's in. And I haven't noticed anybody not being in, and wouldn't expect that.
Go ahead, Ed, and then Mike K.
Hey, Doug, might not be a popular question because I want to ask you about the positive, any positives that you've seen, you know, so far this season, especially someone like Alex Singleton, who has played all the snaps the last 2 weeks and has double digit tackles. I mean, what do you see from him, and what other positives do you see from anyone else so far this year?
I think Alex, you know, as you mentioned, has been a big bright spot for us. He's been, you know, as you mentioned, he's played, you know, a ton of snaps, obviously, on defense. He's played, you know, he's a core teams player. He's a great leader, great energy giver, and just somebody that has really embraced his role. I think about, you know, guys like, you know, Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham, who have, you know, have been real, you know, leaders of this football team. They play and practice hard each and every week. Even, you know, you look at Miles Sanders and Boston Scott and kind of what they've done as a in the run game and kind of picking that up. I am encouraged. Obviously, some of the bright spots have been the receivers, quite frankly. Travis has obviously, you know, been a big part of that and emergence there. Jalen Reagor is getting better the more he plays, you know, and then Darius Slay, I think on the outside as a corner, has really done some nice things there. You know, being able to shut down, you know, a top receiver on the opponent or whatever, you know, Jim asks him to do. So there are definitely some bright spots and some positives on the football team that have emerged this season.
We've got time for a couple more. Sorry, I can't get to everyone. So Mike Kay and then Mike Sielski.
Hey, Doug, I know a lot is being made of the offensive line shuffling, but when the offensive line is protecting and there is no pressure, what are you seeing from the passing game, and how would you evaluate the passing game when the offensive line is protecting from a play calling standpoint, from a Carson standpoint, from a wide receiver standpoint?
Well, you know, when you're seeing that and then you have to look to the concept of the play. You have to look at the routes. You have to, you know, see if guys are in the right spots or doing the right things. And you know, sometimes, listen, give credit to the defense. You know, you've heard of a coverage sack before, and that's happened. You know, that's real. And then on top of that, Carson has had the ability to move and extend plays, and so. Those are all things that are part of that. You know, we when we do have clean pockets, normally we're doing some things well down the field. The ball's completed, but at the same time, I've got to look at the concept, the routes, and making sure guys are in the right spots.
Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, Doug. Since Carson kind of hit what could be called his peak in 2017, he had the torn ligament in his knee, he had the back injury, and he had a concussion. Those are three pretty serious injuries. What's been the effect on him of those from what you've seen? And what's been the effect of maybe on how you might call a game because of the after effects of those injuries?
Well, I hesitate to comment on how he feels or what he is going through, because that's more probably a question for Carson. But from a play caller standpoint, you know, those injuries don't play a part, obviously, into how I approach the game or how I call the game. But I think to answer the first part of that, I would say that that's probably a Carson question to see how he feels and how he's overcome those injuries.
Hold up.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot, because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast-closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle. It's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.